have anybody show up, and then we kind of fill up the place, which is nice. That's really good. Good to have everybody today, especially those we haven't seen in a while, and we appreciate that a lot. Today we're going to be talking about something that the church is working on as a group, and it's in a little booklet that you can pick up after service. If you have it now, you'll want to read it while I'm preaching, and maybe you're better than me, but I can't do two things at once, so we'll just hold on to it and pass it out at the end of service. But it's called A Vibrant 21st Century Church and Transforming Vision into Reality. So many times we have wonderful ideas about what things should be, and then we have to look at what they really are. What's the name of that? Oh, you people from GACA, what's the name? What did they call their little health spa? Anyone remember? It's something. What is it? Last, no, it's something where they really don't have hope. But anyhow, it's kind of, I forget exactly what it was. But it just came to mind. It's something that they were trying to work on, but I guess some people don't. Transforming Vision into Reality, short TVR. Don't confuse it with your DVR, which is digital video recorder, but TVR, and what it attempts to do, and I think this is very important for each of us in our Christian life, is to reflect and look back and take an honest look at ourselves as a people and what God has called us to be. Sometimes it's easy to try to get in the routine of church. You come, you sing, you go, you come, you sing, you go, and work all week, and, you know, over and over again. And it's easy to get into a routine, and sometimes those routines aren't as good as they could be. And so we're looking at us as a church, as a people, and just ask what we can be. In the process of this, we're going to look at what our identity in Christ is. And Brother Wade Rose, who our former president of the conference, put together this kind of list, because unless you know who you are, you don't know where you're going or why. And unless you understand who you are. And so he kind of put together this list that kind of gives us in bold letters who we are as a church. Christ-centered. Christ-centered. What does that mean? How do we get our focus on Christ? We know he's the only means of salvation. We know that there's one name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He was the only begotten Son. And how all of the Bible points to Christ, and all of our understanding comes from Christ. Unless he had come, we wouldn't understand all that there is. For example, all the sacrificial system and what it means and why it happened and all of that would not have much meaning unless the real Lamb of God was there to pay the penalty for our sins. Spirit formed. What does it mean to be formed by the Spirit of God? Are we in the process of being formed and transformed by God's Holy Spirit? Are we listening to the Spirit? Are we walking in the Spirit? Are we obeying the Spirit? Do we have the spiritual fruit in our lives? What's the spiritual fruit? Anyone can name them for us? Bernetti, I bet you can. Anyone want love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, faith, temperance, godliness? And I always get the few in the end mixed up. But anyhow, against such there's no law. Do we have those qualities demonstrating in our lives in such a way that the world sees the love of Christ in us? Bible-based. There is no other book, no other book on the face of this earth that compares to what is given to us in the Word of God, meaning the Old and New Testament. And so to have that Bible base, that whatever we teach, we can critique our doctrines by the Bible. And we can understand our doctrines through the Bible. And if there's anything we get wrong, we correct it by the Bible. So that the Bible is our doctrinal base. Sabbath celebrating. Not Sabbath just keeping. Not just Sabbath observing, but Sabbath celebrating. Every Sabbath should be a joy to the people of God. I get to rest if you've been working hard. I get to worship if you need a good dose of joy in your life. I get to be with God's people. Sabbath celebrating. Distinct, yet inclusive. We have our beliefs, and we believe our beliefs, and yet we're inclusive in the sense that we can love other Christians of different denominations, and yet we want to keep what makes us who we are, and we really do believe what we believe. The two, and then he talks about the two great commandments. And so we're passionate in worship and compassionate in service. So we want to be very passionate. I know some of us would like us to be more passionate. Wouldn't it be great to, I don't know what we could do, but to be more passionate, but we're German, you know. It's kind of hard to get that stuff going. I don't know what it is. Some of us are anyway. And it's just hard to kind of get the joy, the praise, the enthusiasm, the excitement, passionate in worship, compassionate in service. We see a need, and we want to do something to help that need. Our hearts are broken for those that are hurting. And the Great Commission is engaging in witness. Go ye into all the world, make disciples of all nations, as Jesus said. So we have not pounding it into them how wrong they are, but sharing the love of Jesus and the gospel with people. And then united in fellowship, and if you don't have unity in fellowship, it says, that's pretty bad. You can quench the Holy Spirit if we don't have unity. And then committed to discipleship, and that means each of us growing in our lives as a Christian and helping each other to grow. Well, it's called TVR, Transforming Vision into Reality. And the scripture says that without vision, what? Where there is no vision? Come on, you Bible. The people perish. It says in another version, where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. And if you cast off restraint, self-control, God control, what happens? Well, Moses went up on the mountain and they cast off restraint. And so the people, it says, got up and played and had all kinds of, well, we figure immorality of some sort going on. Plus, what did they build whenever Moses was up on the mountain? They tore off their gold, threw it in the fire, and Aaron says, "Out came this god." Of course, he was the one hammering it together and putting it together and everything. But whenever people cast off restraint of God and self-control, bad things happen. And that leads to destruction. And so we want to be careful not to let that happen. Vision or revelation, as it says in some versions, is a message that God has given. Without the message from God, what happens? Without picturing this message from God, what's preaching anyway? It should be giving us an understanding of God's word, a message from the Lord. Not that I'm a prophet or have the kind of inspiration that the prophets did of old, but it should be a message from the Lord. And unless we're putting that message out in front of us and reminding us of God's commandments, of His truth, of His love, what happens? Destruction. That's why it's so important that we grab a hold of opportunities to be with God's people, to get a place where we're encouraged and blessed and told not just what we want to hear, but what God says and how He puts it. And so without vision, and so this is transforming this vision or this awareness. Preaching is to make us aware of God and His plans and His purposes. The TRV, transforming vision into reality, has the purpose of articulating God's plan for us as a church. Men have looked at this and put it together in such a way that they're trying to help us to see or help us to... I'm not told what to preach. That won't ever happen. In fact, I don't even tell myself what to preach. I put it in my notes, but a lot of times it don't... Either something else gets in there, hopefully by the Holy Spirit or whatever. But it's just a matter of this is a focus that we want to have as a church. And so I'm hoping that you can be a part of this, that we can be a part of this, transforming vision into reality. Now, what does it mean to transform something? You have a big movie on. I don't know if you got grandkids or whatever, or kids that are talking about the Transformers, and that's just kind of, hi there, you're gonna help me preach, right? At any rate, he's fine. Don't worry about him on my part. But anyway, the word transform is used just a few places in the Scripture. It says in Romans 12, verse 1, I urge you, therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies a living sacrifice. So think about it. What does it mean? In order to have a vibrant 21st century church, you can't just have the church. What do you have to have? You have to have the people inside the church that have offered themselves. The church will be no greater than its people. It won't. Unless we are fully committed to Christ, unless our hearts are transformed, the church will not be transformed. Transformed, it says, offer your bodies a living sacrifice. Is your body and your person and your mind something that you're ready to give to God? Not a dead sacrifice like the animals that they offered in the past, but a living sacrifice. In other words, it's doing something. It's accomplishing something. It's moving in a direction. And it's given to God. A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. Is your life holy? Is your body holy? Or are you working toward that holiness that comes from God? Or are you just satisfied? Are there things in your home that you wouldn't want anyone to see? Is there time that you're spending that you should spend in a different way? How is your prayer life? Are you prayed up? Are you close to God? Am I close to God? Are we at a point where we have God's holiness living in us? Be not, and it says, and here's the key words here. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. Folks, I'm sorry. And it isn't just clothing. It isn't just hairstyles. It's a mindset that we take on from the world. And the more you listen to the world, the more you become like the world. The more you are not, we need to be in the world, but not of the world. So we need to live and work in a community and in a place like that. But are we being changed by them? Or are they seeing Jesus in us, reflecting Christ, and possibly letting God change them? You have to, I mean, it's so easy to get caught up in the glitz and the glitter and the money and the success. It's so easy to get caught up in that, in the pride, in the selfishness. It's so easy to get caught in it. And we are not to be conformed to this world. And what it, the word kind of has this meaning of here's the shape of something, and you press the clay into it, and it takes that shape. Are you being pressed into the shape and manner and attitude and spirit of this world? Do not be conformed. Do not be so malleable. Do not be so spineless, if you will, to let the world decide who you are and what you are. That doesn't mean we need to be necessarily a nonconformist. The hippies. How many remember the hippies? Yeah, how many of you were one? we'll get some real, I'll talk to you afterwards if you have that problem. But they were nonconformist. So the guys let their hair grow long, and they had all kinds of communes and orgies and drugs, and they whatever the establishment was, they weren't going to be that. Now, I don't know if you remember a few weeks back, I talked about throwing the baby out with the bathwater, you know? And so it's important that we find out what we're supposed to be nonconformist in, not just that we're nonconformist. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be, and here's the key word, transformed. Transform. Now, it isn't from the same root. You know, you got form in there, but it isn't from the same root. It's a whole different word. It's metamorphosis. Just like a worm goes into a cocoon. It eats and grows, and then it builds this cocoon. And inside the cocoon, something happens. It's not just that it kind of changes. It becomes a different animal. We, as Christians, are inside this cocoon. In fact, it's really strange what happens, because everything kind of gets mixed up into a soup, and then it reshapes itself. It changes into, what does it change into in that cocoon? Not something that crawls around eating leaves, but something that has wings and beauty and flies. And it says, don't be conformed to this world where you're just molded into the shape of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's changed on the inside. So many Christians, they come out and they become a Christian, and they change the outside. You know, they look at outward appearances that need to be changed. Maybe they don't curse anymore. Maybe they wear a different kind of, or maybe more dress or whatever. They do things differently. But if you're changed on the outside, then you become conformed to Christianity and not transformed into Christianity. Do you see the difference? Because it's a change, not of the outward, but a change of the heart that has to happen if you're going to know Jesus Christ. Because not only does God forgive your sins, not only does he call you to repentance, but he says, I will come inside you and change you. Change that heart of selfishness and bitterness and pride and anger into a heart that is listening to God in love and his love. There's another place this word is used, three places that it's used. One is for when Jesus is on the mountain and he is transfigured, if you use the King James Version. But the other place that's related to us is there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the glory of the Lord. How do we get this transformation? We want to transform our church, but we got to be transformed ourselves and be sure we're transformed. And in fact, that transforming is not just a one-step deal, is it? Are you guys where you're going to be one day? No. We're going to have a new body. We're going to have a whole new, and we're going to grow in faith. We're going to grow in the attitudes of Christ, aren't we? You know, I haven't got rid of all those old, has anybody got rid of all those old attitudes yet? Does selfishness ever crop up or some other attitudes? Well, they do in me. Hope that doesn't shake your faith, but I struggle with some of those things. I struggle. And it's not the battle against ISIS or something like that. It's a battle against that inside enemy that is me. The things I want to do, I can't do, can't seem to do. The things I don't want to do, there I did it again. Maybe you never have that problem. I do. Pray for me. Because we got to be changed. We got to be new creatures. Old things passed away. But it says transformed. How do we do it? How do you get this carnal, selfish wreck of a person into the image of Jesus Christ? Because that's the aim, right? He's the example. Remember, we're Christ-centered. Who's the example? Jesus' example. We're to be like him. To have his same spirit that put him on a cross to die for us. It says here, with unveiled faces, contemplate the Lord's glory and being transformed into his image. With ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. How do we get there? How do we become this thing that God calls us to be? We get there through looking at Jesus. Now, I don't have any pictures here, do I? Is that what it means? No. You read, you study, you learn about Jesus. And everything that does not comport or go along with that, we pray and ask God to transform that part. Right? We should each, maybe we'll do this as a thing in the near future. We should each put up a list of the fruit of the Spirit. And every time, we ought to mark it every time we mess up. How many of you have a good time? How many are really patient people? Do you have patience? I'll stand here for 5 minutes and not say a word and see how much patience you have. We want something happening. We're expecting something and we want something and we want it now. We are not a patient people. I'm sorry. Instant, not patient. How many of us are forgiving of forgiving people? Are you quick to forgive? Or do you kind of, not quite? And listen. I think some of us think we've forgiven when we haven't, to be quite honest. I think some of us hold grudges. I think some of us have bitterness. A forgiving people. Patient people. How many of us are kind people? How many of us are unselfish? Do you want things for you? Do you like it your way? You have to go to McDonald's or Burger King, I guess it is, to get it your way. In life, it doesn't come my way. Sometimes it hurts, and sometimes it's painful, and sometimes it's difficult. And so put a list on your refrigerator if that's where you're always going. Some of us do a little more than others. Put a list. And every time you have an angry moment, every time you have a bitter moment, every time you have an unforgiving moment. How many of us are slow to speak when we got something to say? Quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. All those fruits of God's Spirit working in us. And that is the transformation that is. You know, if you don't know that transformation is there, you'll never. If you don't see your need of the transformation, you'll always be kind of on the outskirts of transformation. That's why Paul could say, I'm not there. I'm still struggling. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Transformation. Brethren, sisters, we need to be a church of transformation. We need to take the vision of what God has called us to be. Holy, godly, blessed, righteous, Spirit-filled people. And we need to transform that vision into who we really, really are. Down deep. And I probably have to need another sermon here. What time is it? I'm after 12. Boy, oh boy. We're going to see if you got patience. I'll preach for another hour. No, just a few minutes. But we have in Romans there, if you look in Romans after chapter 2, it says, for by the grace given to me, I say unto you, do not think of oneself of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Is that what I was saying just a minute ago? Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. But rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with faith, with the faith God has distributed to each one of you. We have some people that are thinkers, and we have some people who are talkers. But we need to have people that are doers. Right? You can think about it. That's good. You can talk about it. That's good. But how do you do it? How are you in doing it? Let's read what Romans says. For just as each of us has, and this is a kind of one of the places where you see the vision of what Paul thinks of as the church. It says in chapter 12, verse 4, For just as each of us has one body with many members, these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, though many form one body. You're not yourselves. You don't belong to yourself, and you're not alone. We are called to be a body. When one member suffers, we all suffer. When one member hurts, we all hurt. So in Christ, though we are many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. And we have gifts, different gifts, according to the grace that is given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying or preaching, sometimes it's translated that, then prophesy in accordance with faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. You know, we have a lot of gifts in the church that aren't being tapped. We do. You know what I look at the church? I look at a church as a 12-cylinder vehicle firing on about two or three cylinders. What happens when you do that? You spit and sputter and make all kinds of noise and don't get anywhere. We need every person to realize how God has gifted them and be willing to use their gift for His glory, not for ours. Love, verse 9, must be sincere. Hate that is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction. How many of us are patient in affliction? You say, praise the Lord, I'm being afflicted. Share with the Lord's people. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Why would he say that to a church? Are there sometimes disharmonies that need to be settled? Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. Something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. If we are a people of that caliber, aiming for those goals, that's what we mean, transforming vision of what we should be into reality of who we are. And so I'm going to have fun with these sermons. I hope you will enjoy it too. But I get to preach on, I don't have to follow as much of a detailed whatever. Sometimes I go through a book and they think, will Genesis ever end, you know? And I just still didn't preach all the sermons I could have. But no, I really hope you'll take this journey with me of what God can do and what we can be in Jesus Christ, transforming vision into reality. We're going to close with a song.